We're looking at easily the most overrated player in this draft.
It's so easy.
That's unreal.
I would never draft him. That's the bottom line.
I mean,
that's a hard no for me.
This is an autopilot first round pick.
He is definitely on my do not draft list. We get it. We get it.
Yeah,
Let's move on. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Hockey Talkie. I'm Travis. Jesse, you still with me?
I am here.
Sweet. We're doing this over Skype again. It seems to be working so far.
Yeah, totally. Sounds, things have been, quality-wise, it's not taking a hit, so that's good.
It's been okay. So we're almost 10 games into the season. People are starting to wonder where the podcast is. I was telling people on Twitter that we're just kind of letting it ride a little bit. I mean, we don't want to do a podcast with, like, two games. Like, that would just be, like, an overreaction podcast.
Yeah, I mean, some teams have, like, five games played. Some teams have, like, nine. So, haven't even hit 10% of the season for some of these teams. So, nothing too crazy. There's obviously been lots of interesting stories in the NHL so far. But we are going to probably give you guys a little bit more time. Here we are.
Yeah, it's hard to, like,
Sunday two.
It's hard to jump on players when, like, there's only, like, three games. Or, like, saying, yeah, this player is really performing. So we kind of like to wait till, like, 10 games in. And I think we'll do the same next week. We'll take the week break and then do another week kind of at 20. And then as things start heating up later on in the year, we'll kind of do, like, week when it gets, like, down to crunch time, down to the trade wire, or not the...
Yeah.
Free,
yeah, exactly. Like,
stuff,
I mean,
like that.
Yeah, like, you shouldn't be cutting any of your stars or anything right now. I mean, it's so early. Like, we're just trying to, just get a feel for teams, get a feel for things. And so we'll give you our, you know, early impressions of the season so far. But yeah, nothing, you know, too drastic yet. So, but definitely entertaining season so far. The biggest thing I can say is goal scoring is up. Like, it's disgusting how many goals are being scored
in fantasy.
NHL. It is great for fantasy, but, like, it is so stressful. Like, every game I look at, it's like there's a 6-2 or something every time. Every team,
yep,
scores like six goals now. It's like unbelievable.
Is. If you guys want answers to your questions, hit us up on Twitter at FantasyNHLTalk and Facebook and all that stuff. You can find us on Spotify and iTunes and Google Play. Did you hear iTunes is going out of business? Like, they're canceling iTunes or stopping it?
I did not know that. What does Apple do instead?
They're not doing... Oh, what is it?
Just
they're not
folding.
Doing music? Like, they have a different
music
platform for music now, I guess. And then they have Apple Podcasts. That's a whole separate thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be shutting down iTunes. I just found that out.
I mean, makes sense. I'm sure iTunes can't really compete with, like, Spotify and stuff like that. Like,
yeah,
if people actually wanted to... Like, why would you buy music when you can just pay, like, $2 or $3 or whatever it is for Spotify to get everything?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, to stream. Yeah. So it's definitely an archaic business model. So it's good to see some competition killing Apple in some ways. So that's good, I guess.
Yeah. So hit us up on Twitter, especially, like, for those daily starts and stuff. We're always answering questions on there, more regularly than the podcast anyway, because we're going to be doing this every 2 weeks until it gets busy, and then every 1 week. But if you need daily starts, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm always answering them before the games start. So let us know what we got on tap for today. Going to go over the injuries and news like normal. And then we got some players to fill in for some injuries, some free agent pickups. I tried to pick some guys that were, like, less than 50% owned. Is that kind of what you did too, Jesse?
Yeah, I targeted, like, a couple high profiles, but for the most part, I try to stick around, like, exactly, like, the sub 60%. So at least there's a chance these guys are free in your leagues and stuff. So, yeah, exactly like what you did.
Okay, sweet. Before we get into that, my quick question of the day.
Sure.
What team has been the most impressive? And then a caveat to that would be player on that team.
Interesting.
It's a small sample size, 10 games in. Who's been like, I mean, someone that you're like, wow, team player?
It's torn between. That's tough. I mean, I'm torn between the Oilers and Buffalo. Obviously, the Oilers are just killing it right now. They're getting goaltending. They're getting everything. Yep. So that's been really good. Buffalo's been doing really, really well. Same idea. So I'd say both of those teams. If I had to pick one, I'd say Edmonton, just because I didn't think Edmonton would even have any wins to start. So I think they're the biggest surprising team. And then as for the most surprising player, I guess, as lame as it is, obviously you got to pick James Neal, right? I mean, it's like there's no other thing that could pop. Like, obviously Draisaitl has like 16 points or something, or 14, and Connor has like, of course, the million points as well. But yeah, no, I mean,
Connor 16 for Draisaitl right now.
Yeah, that's disgusting. So I mean, obviously James Neal getting a bunch of goals already. I'm not sure how the pace will keep up. I'm sure eventually people will start giving more respect on the power play or something for Neal, and those are going to hopefully go down, and he's not an assist man at all. So I don't know how many goals he'll end up with, which is tough. I've been trying to think of that. If I, like, it might just be a 30 and 20 point and 20 assist season is what I'm thinking. Like, he gets 50 points at the end of the year with 30 goals.
Yeah, it could be.
It's kind of what I'm thinking is going to happen. But yeah, for sure, he's been very impressive. Obviously, he obviously really wanted to show that last season was like this horrible, like, just flukier kind of thing. So,
dude, I could get 9 goals playing with McDavid and Draisaitl.
No, I know. I mean, that's
easy. Put me on skates and let me stand in front of the net with my stick about waist height, and I'll just tip everything in.
On a power play? Exactly. I mean, you only have 4 guys defending, and so you have the best player that ever played the game, like, in McDavid, like, and then you have Draisaitl, who's like probably 3 right now in the current NHL for the same thing. And so you can only cover so many people, and like, I'm sure it's just so much space for Neal to do what he wants. And Neal's always had an amazing wrist shot and shot. So if you give this guy any opportunity, he's going to snipe goals. Like, he's still an NHL player. So I think teams will eventually adjust to that. And I think Neal's going to get like fall off a cliff here soon for goals. But I still think
he's still high.
So yeah, if there ever was a sell high candidate, I mean, it's James Neal, guys. You drafted him with your like last pick.
Like, literally, he got drafted in the last round of our league.
Yeah, exactly. So extract that value while you can, because he's not going to get very many 5-on-5 points, I don't think. And like, let's see. I probably should look at this before, but what does the daily faceoffs line have for our boy Neal?
Where's second Neal playing?
Yeah. Okay. So he plays with the Nuge and Chiasson, or Chiasson and Neal, which is kind of a terrible line, to be honest. So
it's that power play. That's where he gets all his points.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's no 5-on-5 there. Chiasson's a black hole. Nuge is, you know, good, but not good enough to carry James Neal to 5-on-5 points.
No. Yeah. He'll slow down. No, that's just guaranteed.
It's just that power play. Yeah, for sure. I let it see. Yeah, he's done. But obviously, the Oilers have been crazy impressive. Mike Smith is a great pickup. He's doing really well. Koskinen's doing right. So I think that they have the right idea there of just doing the 50-50 split, which is super depressing because, like, I keep looking at them and I'm like, man, I really should hop on this goalie train while I can, right? I mean, like, all these free wins are just, like, everywhere. Yep. This team's going to score 100 goals. And it's just, like, Smith, Koskinen. I'm like, dang. Because they're, like, both of them are in, like, the top 5 goalies of our league or whatever sitting there. It's just like, man, I don't know who to hope for. So
Smith has honestly been benched the last couple games after that bad, was it Chicago game?
Yeah, he did have one where he got lit up.
Yeah, he had a bad game, and then Koskinen has been playing the last couple, so that might be the guy to go for there. But we'll get into that later. I want to give you I got 2 teams and 1 player.
All right, what do we got?
So the teams. I'm gonna give a shout out to Vancouver. I feel like they're not as bad as people thought they would be. They've been playing very well, and Demko's getting some looks in net for them, which is really good. And Markstrom was injured a little bit there. And the team scoring, the team is doing good. They're in a wild card spot right now. That's one team that's surprising me. And then the second team that's surprising me is actually Nashville. because we were talking about this a little before the pod, but Nashville's actually scoring goals.
Yeah, they've totally revamped whatever system they were using.
You're not as surprised as I am, I guess.
I'm surprised, but I just did a bunch of like research about the power play actually like yesterday, and apparently they were using this old Shea Weber strategy where like they had Subban take bombs from the point, and then that was the whole point of their power play, was they had set up the Subban shot, and they've gone away from that and moved into like a more like a cycling kind of like passing play, shooting outside kind of stuff like that. And so that's been like paying dividends for them. They're getting a lot more goals and a lot more things that way. So so I think maybe that's just like how the feature is that you can't just rely on that one big shot from the point kind of thing, which I thought was interesting, because like that's the whole point of, they had Subban, the big slap shot, Weber, all those guys, and now they got guys like Duchesne and Forsberg, etc., who can like actually score. So I think they've been like trying to spread it out. So to answer your question though, no, of course it's very surprising. I mean, the team had like the worst power play ever, and like they're not known for scoring goals, and the only like they basically lost, you know, I mean, they added Duchesne, who's been obviously great, but I mean, there's not really too much difference to this team beside like just one player gone kind of thing. So
Duchesne helped a lot. Yeah, you know, that Tur started getting some points again.
Yeah, I saw his name a couple of times. I was impressed. I was like, oh yeah, Tur still exists. So
he just doesn't have the pressure, right, of playing the number one center anymore.
No, exactly. Yeah, he's down there. I think Ryan Johansson he's been freed up a bit too. He's gotten a few power play points as well. So yeah, I think I haven't actually watched a Nashville game yet, which is super depressing because I've been trying to.
You know what? It's safe to watch though. They are entertaining now. It's not just a defensive.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's worth watching now. Okay, and then I'll throw out my player quickly before we get into like the injuries and news. John Carlson, he's number two in the league in points with 17. Oh, actually, he's tied with McDavid, 17 points.
He's tied, yeah.
Both me and you said before the beginning of the season, we wanted John Carlson as many leagues as we can get. We got him in a couple leagues of the analytics leagues, and he's paying off huge for us.
Yeah, not even being a Washington homer as myself, I wanted him so bad. I knew he was going to continue. The guy is just an absolute dominant player. He's got an incredible shot. One of the best power play quarterbacks I've ever seen in my entire life. So I wouldn't be surprised if he finishes less than... I think he's going to win the Norris this year. There you go. There's my prediction.
That's good. I like it.
Norris hype right there.
Almost 26 minutes a game. Like, he is the defense there. So that's who you want. That's everything that you want. Yeah. The opportunity's there. The power play's there. Boom. Sign me up.
Yeah, no, totally. Defensemen take forever to develop. I think he's in his mid-20s now, maybe like 27. Not 100% sure on his age, but...
I think 31, I heard.
Oh, is he? He's actually that old.
I thought so, or maybe I'm thinking of someone else. 29.
Okay, so it's late. Yeah, late 20s. Okay. Yeah, so this is when defensemen enter their prime years and stuff like that. So I think he's, going to have an absolute dominant year. I think he'll win the Norse. And it's disgusting how good he's been.
He went in the third round of our league of record, which we all thought was high, but look what's happening now.
Yeah, I wanted him so bad. I had a choice between picking up Crosby or John Carlson because I picked last in our league, so I had that double pick.
Yeah.
And I was really hoping I could get it back to him, but I couldn't pass up Crosby. So I took Crosby instead, which may come back to haunt me, but we'll see. He's also been doing okay, but Carlson is on another planet right now for points, so it's super crazy.
Yeah, defensemen always slow down like that. Okay, let's get into the injury news before we go off on like weird rabbit holes. Oh, John Carlson. Did you hear the news about Byfuglien?
All I hear is that he's leaning towards coming back, but so I don't know anything.
What they said that. They said he's watching the games, he's found his love of the game, and he's getting that itch again. Quotations, air quotations, what I'm doing. Is this, we have him in a couple leagues, like of our analytics leagues, and we're benching him right now, but he is there waiting. Is this like the go ahead to pick him up? or what do you think, Jesse?
I mean, that does sound pretty positive. I don't know what his conditioning is like or how long it would take to get him back to game shape. But if you have definitely bench spots, then for sure pick him up. If you don't, then, well, just status quo, keep going. So, yeah.
Do you think he's still working out?
No.
Like, do you think he's still game ready? Or no, or he's just going to be like a couch potato coming back?
I can only assume he's going to be like 270 and just like like linebacker status and just like
he's going to be back to the boat Bufflin when he was like huge gut.
Yeah, just monster of a man. Yeah, I don't know. Obviously, he's an incredible player when he's playing, and Winnipeg needs him so bad. They have no defense on their team. Like, they could easily just miss the playoffs because they have no defense. Like,
yeah, they every need game him so bad.
Race. Against Winnipeg because they just get destroyed. Like, Hellebuck's been super average, and it's, oh man, it's so tragic. They need him so bad. So I'm sure they're pushing his decisions, and I'm sure his teammates are texting him being like, hey man, like we actually need you to win games, not just because we want you back kind of thing, because we miss you, etc. So yeah, if you got bench spots, of course pick him up. I don't know how long it'll take to get him ready. I mean, obviously I know he'll know the system, like that's not the issue. I'm just worried about him
physically,
yeah, like what he's been doing. I just don't feel like he's been hitting the bike every day on his like pseudo retirement. So
you want to know what my recommendation for Bufflin is going to be?
Yeah, I don't know. What do you got?
I'm gonna steer away. You know, it's not worth my headache trying to find a spot for him on my teams. If I don't have like a deep IR spot or deep bench, I'm probably just going to leave it. Like, I don't think that he's going to come back and be a world beater. He's not going to like crush anyone else. He's going to be very slow. I don't think that he's going to be what we thought he's going to be. So I'm steering away. I'm going to give him 10 games in the NHL playing before I want to pick him up. Is that fair, or am I being too harsh on him?
It's a little harsh, but I think it's fair as well. I mean, like I said, if you don't have bench spots for the guy, then you can't just pick him up and hope for the best. So, I mean, unless you are like in last place and you're like kind of Hail Marying, I don't know how to make that a verb, up something to like spark your team, then yeah, he could be worth it because he's pretty boom or bust at this point. Obviously, Winnipeg's going to score a lot of goals. He can definitely get in on it, but I just don't know. It's just the conditioning. It's just what I'm worried about. I haven't heard anything about what he's been doing and stuff like that. And the NHL is like so fast and so different. You can't just take a month off and like super depressed about not wanting to play hockey and then be like, oh, wow, I'm watching TV. I got the itch again. Like, maybe I should start playing. It's just like, well, okay.
I'd rather take Lefbaum or Dougie Hamilton or like guys that are doing pretty good right now than like try to waste that spot on a Bufflin or waiting for a Bufflin to come back.
Yeah, I mean, like, Morrissey's been doing amazing in his spot for points, so there's nothing wrong with taking Morrissey and just being happy with that. But I mean, if we revisit this podcast in 2 months and Bufflin's killing it, then I won't be totally surprised. But
yeah, then egg on my face.
Well, it's not really your face, it's just like he's got to come back and play, but he's going to be, I just imagine, so out of shape. And if any decision happens, I don't think he'll be playing for another 3 weeks anyway, to be honest. I think it's still time is going to be going past, so I still think there's another 5, 6, 7 games before he even plays anyway. So yeah, that's definitely a story to keep an eye on as the season goes on. So, but as is right now, he's not playing, so stash him if you want and you have bench space, but don't be picking him up and hoping he's gonna come back in like 1 or 2 games and just kill it, because that's super unlikely.
Right. Okay, let's rattle off some of these other guys that were injured. Keisher, he should be back soon, just a little couple day-to-day. Forsberg, day-to-day as well, he's coming back soon. Tavares is going to be out 2 weeks with that broken finger. That's someone that you might need to find a spot, just because we know it's going to be at least 2 weeks. That'll be 5 games for them. So you might want to sub someone in for him if you have an IR spot. Nolan Patrick is an interesting one. He's week to week right now, no timetable. He's going to be gone for a little bit of time. And then the big one, Malkin, he's going to be out at least a month starting October 19th. So somewhere at the end of November is when Malkin's going to be coming back. You need a sub for him. Barkov, day-to-day as well with a little injury from, I think it was from last night. Actually, he did play. Anyone that I'm missing on those injuries?
I think Galchenyuk's still injured.
Yes.
But yeah, for the most part, those are like the big fantasy implication ones for sure.
Okay, here's my part two. Part two of the injuries. Guys that are skating that were injured that you can look to pick up. Galchenyuk is now skating. Brian Little is skating. Winnipeg really needs him back badly. Eberle, Alex Tuck, and Rust are all starting to skate. So those are guys that you can look for to stash. But keep in mind, they're still not quite ready to be back. This is the time that I'd start looking for those guys, though, that are they're skating. So they've got maybe 1 week left. Stash them. Wait for them to come back. Anyone out of that list that you really like, Jesse? Galchenyuk, Little, Eberle, Tuck, Rust?
Honestly, no.
Well, you need to have no one of those guys come back for your team. Not everyone has the same team as you, I guess.
I don't feel like any of those guys are going to be too helpful, to be honest. Rust is okay, I guess. I was just looking at Pittsburgh's lineup, and that team is so depleted, it's crazy.
Like, yeah.
Their second line center is Sam Lafferty. It's like some rookie. Like, their team is probably one of the worst teams I've ever seen.
Yeah, and I think Rust slots up with Crosby.
Yeah, so I was thinking, like, these guys are like actually first line players. So it's kind of funny to think that, like, Rust and Galchenyuk and all these guys, Bjugstad has been injured, McCann, etc. So, yeah, this team's so depleted, it's crazy. But yeah, nothing too crazy. I think Little might be pretty good. I'm not sure how they're using him. I think he'll get back. They have him as the second line center, so he'll play with Connor and Ehlers. So that's pretty big. So Little, I'd be interested in for sure.
Yeah. See, there you go.
There
okay,
you go.
Since you didn't like the guys that were skating, Jesse, let's just jump right into the main meat of the podcast, and then you start with your best forward that's lighting it up that you think people should pick up right now.
Well, I wouldn't say lighting it up, but
what would you say then? You say they're a good waiver wire ad?
Yeah, exactly. Some waiver wire ads. I'd say my first one is Brock Nelson, which I'm sure you probably have on your list. Maybe not.
I don't.
But Brock Nelson is okay. He's been getting tons and tons of minutes, playing around 20 minutes a game. He's not getting a lot of power play time, but he's getting 20 minutes a game. He plays on the second line on the Islanders, which is pretty, you know, okay. He gets that first line power play time sometimes with, he's on the second unit. So the second unit, it's, you know, it's an okay power play, but he's been getting lots of minutes. He has a pretty decent second line with Beauvillier. Dal Cole has been okay. So I think he's worth a pickup. The problem is he's a center. So if you're in a positional league, you probably have no interest, but if you're in a points league, he's definitely a guy. He has 7 points in 8 games. So it's he's been looking pretty good and definitely a guy that you can get cheap and will be on the waiver wire. So I like him a lot. I was looking at him today and he actually got picked up in our league, which is kind of funny because I just woke up and I just checked it. It was like, 7:30 p.m. Someone picked up Brock Nelson and dropped Jordan Staal. So
that's probably a good move, but why does he have Jordan Staal?
So that's definitely, yeah, exactly. I was like, it is an improvement. But yeah, so for sure. He's definitely a guy I was looking at. And I like him as a good pickup. He's a guy that was around like 60% owned. So something you can look at. Of course, the only problem is that he's a center. I'm not sure what his eligibility is.
His real problem is he's an Islander.
Well, yeah, the Islanders don't score. I'm looking at the Islanders games. 2, 4, 6, 8. So of the 8 games, they have only scored 4 goals once. And then it's all 3s and then 2s. So not a lot of goals as you expect in the old Barry Trotz system. but he's been getting points and the opportunity is there. I mean, you can't argue with the guy who's getting 21 minutes a night. Just based on pure volume, you're going to get some points from him somewhere. He's getting around 3 shots a game, which is okay. And yeah, but basically you would just grab him for the points, stream him for the week or something, and just see how it keeps going. So that's basically my first guy I was looking at. So Brock Nelson for a pickup. Nothing too crazy, but, you know, could get a couple weeks out of him.
I don't like it, Jesse. I don't like it.
You're a hater.
I don't like Islanders, man. I don't want to watch those games.
Nope. No, I feel you. I draft Barzal, and I'm just like, I'm never going to watch an Islanders game. It's like, they're just so slow.
Well, at least he's going to score. Like, I just feel like everyone on that team is a defensive shutdown, you know, that old system that they used to play. Can I give you one that's going to score goals?
Sure.
not to bash your Brock Nelson. Okay, how come Paul Stastny is still out on waiver wires and free agency? He has 7 points in 5 games. He's playing with Stone, which is 5th in the league right now in points, and Pacioretty, which is doing very well. I think he has 7 and 8 games or something like that. But Stastny is the center for that second line. Tons of minutes. Vegas is insane. They're scoring 100 goals a game, it feels like. But how is Stastny? He plays the number one unit power play. How is he still on free agents? I don't know. Pick him up if you can. Hold him, even though he's just a center. Keep him on your team. Flex him if you can, if you have a utility spot or something like that. I want all the Vegas Knights.
No, I agree. I think the big reason why he wasn't picked up is they had him playing on the third line for a while.
Right.
Which was really, they had this Cody Glass guy taking over second line duty. And so Cody Glass was centering Patches and Stone. And so I think a lot of people thought that was going to be like the new norm and not realize that it's like, you know, game 5 of the season. And they're just trying to see what their rookies can do and just doing a little lineup moving around and stuff like that. So I think now, as the meat of the season eventually arrives, that, you know, Stastny's too good to be a third line center, obviously. So they're just giving the rook some looks. So now that he's back to the second line playing where he should be, he'll start collecting those points. And obviously, yeah, Vegas is so strong. Yep. I mean, I was calling for Pacioretty to have a bounce back. So he's been doing well. We know Stone is absolutely godlike. So yeah, I think this is a great time to capitalize on those sleeping owners.
Yep.
That just thought that he's going to be a third line, not getting any of these points. Because that Cody Glass guy, he's got 6 points in 9 games on Vegas. So he definitely reaped a lot while he was on those lines.
Well, that's because he's playing on the number one power play. And the number one power play is Stastny, Pacioretty, Stone, Shea Theodore, and Cody Glass.
Yeah, exactly. So they put them all together. Now Glass is down to the third line. They don't even use him as a center anymore. They have him as a winger with Cody Eakin, because now Cody Eakin is back from injuries.
Yep.
Or wherever he was. So his value is going to take a hit, and Stastny is going to be basically sky high. So this is the line we were talking about before the year even started, about how sick this line was. So yeah, no surprise there. Definitely be a guy who can grab Stastny, and it's going to be almost point per game, I'm sure, because how do you not score with Mark Stone on your line? The guy just sets so many things up.
Yeah, Stone is, I hope Stone gets more credit. Like, everyone was everyone was crazy whining about his contract in the offseason.
Yeah, that's what I didn't understand.
It like, is yeah, a lot, he was in Ottawa. For someone that of his talent and his like position and everything, like that's a, you can pay that.
Yeah, the guy's hockey IQ is insane. He sets everything up. According to the site, they have the Vegas line 2 as the best line 2 in the entire NHL.
Yeah.
So there you go. Stone, Stastny, Pacioretty is the best second line in the entire NHL. So
for sure, it is.
Take that to the bank. And I totally agree. I'm just saying that this is why people shouldn't be sleeping on Stastny. Like, yeah, he has the most boring fantasy hockey name of all time, but he's definitely, yeah, he's going to have a great year this year. So I'm excited for him.
Oh, that one is too easy for you. You just like jumped on board with that one.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that. I totally forgot. I mean, it's because Stastny's drafted in our league, so I just like, you know, zoned him out. It's like, oh.
He has been picked up quite a bit, but I just wanted people to remember, you know, that he's out there in some leagues. So check your home leagues and stuff, because you will get a piece of Stastny if you want.
Yeah.
Can I hit you with another one?
Sure. What do we got?
I got two more forwards, and I'm really happy about this one. Henrique. Henrique has finally done the unthinkable in Anaheim. He has supplanted Ryan Getzlaf as a number one center.
That's so gross.
Henrique is playing with Raquel and Silverberg now, and he has 5 points in his last three games, and he also gets the top power play unit. And the Ducks have been better than everyone expected them. Gibson's playing out of his mind, which we knew he would. They got okay defense, and then they're scoring goals. I like Adam Henrique, and no one owns him right now. He is on waiver wires guaranteed.
No, I agree. I think that's great. Silverberg's been playing great. Raquel's been great candidate for a bounce back. And of course. That assignments are amazing. First unit power play is amazing. This team is scoring tons and tons of goals, which is something I was not expecting. I think a lot of people expected this team to be a bottom five. And
They still could be.
Yeah. They could be, for sure. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised as well, but they're definitely letting their young guys play. Sam Steele's playing, Terry's playing, Comtois playing. I think Terry got his first goal last night.
Yes, he did.
So, yeah, it's definitely exciting to see the Ducks, you know, embracing the full rebuild. Obviously, Perry's gone, so it's just basically Getzlaf with the kids. And this is probably a good, you know, break for Getzlaf. Obviously, he's insane hockey IQ, but there's no way he's the same player he has been or was before. So putting him on the second line opens up a lot of things for him. He gets to play against, you know, guys that are just not in his caliber. Instead of having to play against the Crosbys and all those guys every night, he has to play against, you know, the second line guys, which are usually, if you're not playing Vegas, then, you know, they're probably free. Yeah, this site says that with Getzlaf moved down, it makes it the fourth best second line in the entire NHL, which is crazy. Because it has like Comtois, Case, and Getzlaf, which is absolutely mind-blowing to me that they rate this as the fourth. But I mean, Getzlaf on a second line is crazy. So yeah,
we've been calling for that, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, you had to. It's a matter of time.
I think last year we were saying like Getzlaf needs to be moved down, like get someone else in that top spot, get him a little softer matchup, because he can still play. He's just slower. And then Adam Henrique still got some juice in the tank with those guys. They got some good chemistry. 5 points in the last three games. I mean, you should be rostered, I think.
Yeah, and the best thing is he's got five goals.
Yeah.
He has 22 shots, so he's taken lots of shots, which is really exciting. I think it's going to be a great pickup. I like that a lot. If he stays on the top line for the full year, then he could probably usually get 60 points, maybe 30, 35 goals if he can keep up the scoring touch. And that's a great for a guy you pick up on waiver wires. So, I do like that a lot.
Sweet.
Henrique. I mean, I remember liking him on the Devils, and he always had some talent, but everyone always used him as a penalty killer and a defensive forward. So it's kind of interesting to see that they're giving him the chances to be pushing the plays and stuff. So that's really cool for him.
Yeah, why not? They got nothing to lose in Anaheim, right?
No, I mean, you go in knowing that, you know, you missed the playoffs last year. You're sort of rebuilding. You cut Perry, like one of your longest, you know, tenured Ducks. You're just totally going this other way. And then, pleasant surprise. Everything's going well. So I like it.
Okay, who do you got next? Give me a good one this time. No more Brock Nelson.
I feel like my players are just so trench. oh, God. Okay, the next one is the GOAT himself, ex-Washington player, Brett Connolly. Let's go.
Whoa.
7 points in 8 games. His ice time has been moving up. It's been kind of erratic. He's been playing between 15 to 20 minutes. He's getting lots of power play time, and he's on a good little point streak right now. So I like, Brett Connolly. I think he's going to be available in every single league.
He
has a great line with Hoffman and Trocheck, which is like absolute beast of a second line. He's getting some little bit of power play units, second unit, which isn't too great, but you know, it's not awful. So I like him going forward. He's a winger. So if you have one of those right wing positions that are kind of tough to fill,
Yes.
This is a guy you could definitely look at for short term. So I like him a lot. I know it's kind of lame because he's probably not the most exciting dude on the planet, but I really think he's going to be, I mean, he's got a home. He's got a great line. He was a big pickup. Again, not the sexiest name, but he was a big pickup for Florida to help with their depth and stuff like that. So playing with Hoffman and Trocheck is absolutely insane. So I think he's going to do pretty good. I don't know if he's going to end of season just absolute kill it, but he's at least due for 50 points and definitely a guy you can stream. So I like him a lot. He's my second forward that I have. And yeah, he's available everywhere. So that's the good thing about Brett Colony. What does it say? He's 21% owned and he has seven points in 8 games. So
just when I think you couldn't pick anyone worse.
I know. I know.
Totally redeem yourself. Yes. I love Brett Connolly. I think he's a great pick. The best thing about Brett Connolly is that there's no one that's going to come up behind him and surpass him. Like, no, this will be the line all year, barring injuries.
Yeah, the guys below him are Dennis Malgin, Pizik. So no one's coming up and taking this guy's spot. Yeah. They signed him on the offseason. I was so bummed to see him go from the Caps. He's like just a criminally underrated player. He can score, kill penalties. And so, I mean, this is the best opportunity he's ever going to have in his entire career, is to play with Trocheck and Hoffman, which is absolutely crazy. So definitely get in there and reap those benefits because it's free points as it stands right now. So,
And get him 21%,
man. Yeah. He's there.
Good.
Perfect. Then my last forward is my boy Dustin Brown. I know a lot of people think that the Kings suck and they are correct, but this line is back. Dustin Brown's got 6 points.
Tell me on Dustin Brown.
Well, he's the banger extraordinaire. He's got 6 points in 8 games and 22 hits. He's averaging like 4 hits a game. He's absolutely killing it. He's playing those 20 minutes with Kopitar. He plays the top power play. He had 5 minutes of power play last night. He's not going anywhere. The team is so depleted that it's just literally the one line. It's just going to be Kopitar, Brown, and then Carter on the power play and all that stuff. So while I don't think he'll get 60 points, I think he'll get 50 again. And he's on pace for like 200 hits or something, which is crazy. So definitely someone I would be looking for in leagues where you need a, you know, winger. And again, he's on a terrible team, so people aren't really too excited. He's only drafted in 33% of leagues, so you definitely have chances to pick him up. And the main reason I brought him up is just because, again, he's a winger. So if you need someone to play, to get chip in a couple points, a couple power play points, and just the hits, this is the guy you're looking for. The Kings aren't going to score a lot of goals. They've been they had a back-to-back shutout where they got shut out in 2 games in a row.
Yikes.
But nonetheless, if they do score, he will be a part of it. And if not, he's just a guy that's going to get hit in pims for you. So just a cheap value banger. And just based on the time of ice, like I said, he hasn't played less than 17 minutes a game.
Which is crazy.
With this highest being 21 minutes, basically 20-41. So he's playing 5+ minutes on the power play, 5 minutes on the shorthanded. He's playing everywhere. Again, I don't expect him to break the blink points-wise, but if you're looking for a guy that's cheap and is going to help you in banger leagues and get some hits and positional, I like Dustin Brown. It hurts to say, but he's underrated value.
He's not the captain there, is he?
Nah, Kopitar is, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, Kopitar is? Yeah, Dustin Brown, banger league.
Oh, a lot of things, but I feel Kopitar is the captain.
Just
for some funny things, Kopitar, Brown, and Iafallo is the 28th first rated line. It's the 28th rated first line in the entire NHL.
Yeah.
There's only two first lines. Worst, like I said, it's not like a powerhouse. But, you know, the power play is okay. You got Kopitar, Brown, Doughty, you know, Carter, Toffoli, some of these guys. Kovalchuk's been okay. So definitely some points to be had. But like I said, this is just a guy you can pick up to help with some of those categories and stuff like that. And again, he's only owned in one third of leagues. So, you know, he's a forward. He's got 6 points in 8 games. It's not too bad.
Banger. I like it. Okay, I'll give you my last forward. You know this one's coming. You knew this one was coming for me. Nick Schmaltz.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, come on. Arizona is looking good. He's playing on the second line, second power play. He has 8 points in 5 games. I'll take that. I did take that because I did draft him this year in our league of record. The good thing about picking up an Arizona Coyote is that there's not really like a number one line, number two line, number three line. It's kind of they all play the same amount of minutes. Like they just disperse the ice time. There's no huge minutes for Kessel or anything like that. They're all kind of mixed in there. And the second line, second power play for Arizona gets an easier matchup. He's just chipping in. And I think he's got some gumption. I think he's a good player. If you look at the Daily Fantasy, what ranks they give the second line for Arizona, they're 11th in the league. So I want a piece of that. I like it.
Yeah, top half. Obviously, been getting around, looks like 14 minutes a game. Lots of power play time. Yeah, big thing for him is just points only guy. Doesn't hit or anything.
Yes.
It's funny. I was just looking at it. He has 2 hits in 8 games.
Yeah, and they all came in the same skill.
They all came in the same game. He must have just been like super PO'd that day. I was just like, oh, I just want to hit 2 people today. But yeah, Smalls obviously had a crazy stat line when he came in last year before he got injured for the entire year. So this was a guy that for sure we were talking about. And yeah, he's picked up where he's left off and he's clicking. He's got a, you know, a decent line, I guess, with Dvorak and Garland. Garland's been a pretty good rookie this year. Dvorak's a pretty good center as well. But yeah, it's Arizona. I mean,
it's more just, Arizona. It's like everyone gets their time on the ice. Everybody gets
opportunities. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I have Keller and he's been super average. So, and he's placed top line in air quotations. So again, the whole team gets opportunities and stuff like that. So, and Schmaltz is definitely a playmaker kind of guy. So I like that a lot. How many people own our boy Schmaltz? What are we up to? Says he is owned in. Oh, he's only in 18.95 of Fantrax leagues.
See?
So 18%. He's available. Yeah, so 81% of Fantrax he's available for a guy that has 8 points in 7 games.
I drafted him in like the 17th round of our league.
Yeah, average draft pick says around like 270 here. So he's deep. He's definitely available. Again, he plays wing, which is pretty cool. Yeah, I like that pick. He's definitely available. And he's kind of a cool name because like your normies in hockey pools won't know this guy at all and have anything to do with him. So he'll be available.
Yeah, then you got injuries, right? Everyone got injuries coming up and stuff. They need subs. And like I said, I've been rostering Schmaltz all year on our league of record because I just think he's a good player. He's going to chip in with an assist every once in a while and a couple goals. You got a couple defense? I got a couple defense written down.
Yeah, I got some defense. Some of them might be a little obvious, but some maybe not. We'll see. The only thing I was going to touch on is the rookie hypes for so far. Hughes finally got a point. Kako has 1 point. They've only played 5 games, though. The big thing is around that Victor Olofsson guy who's got 6 power play goals, and all his goals have been power play goals.
Playing with Eichel.
I did pick him up in our league, which is funny because I tried to pick him up day one, but the site didn't even have him in the system.
Yep.
And he still has 0 salary in Fantrax. So if you are in a Fantrax salary league, such as we are, he comes up as 0 salary. So technically a free player, but I'm not cheating. I Googled it. He makes around 775,000. So I made sure that my cap is still in that freedom area. So definitely a cheap guy to have. He looks like he's going to have that assignment all year. I doubt that Buffalo has the depth to just move for this guy. So as for that, be patient with the other rookies. Hughes and them will have some growing pains. Kako, same idea. So Quinn Hughes has been looking pretty good. Cody Glass has been looking good, all these guys. So, but no one as crazy as Olofsson so far. But that's basically all the rookie hype I have. So anyway, defenseman-wise, I'll get into I don't even want to talk about my defensemen because they're
Give me two then. Pick the two best.
They're so obvious. I feel bad. I thought this guy was less owned, but he's not anymore. I was going to talk about Shattenkirk because he's so good, but then I just realized he's been pushed up to 84% in all leagues, which is crazy.
Oh, wow.
I thought he was way lower. I remember starting the year who was 30% or something or 20%. And this would be cool to talk about. Yeah, just no way. Yeah. And now I just checked, he has 7 points in 8 games and is 84% owned. So obviously Shattenkirk is there. He's not getting much power play time. It's all that top unit. So, but the best news is, he plays on the Lightning. So he's going to get tons and tons of 5-on-5 points, lots of secondary assists because the team is so stacked. You definitely didn't pay for this guy because people draft Hedman, not Shattenkirk.
Yep.
I would talk more about him, but unfortunately he's up to 84% owned, which is kind of a bummer. So I will let that go. But definitely a guy that we were not too high on. Me personally, we were high on the fact that he was on the Lightning, and there's always points to be had
back
on this team.
Yeah, for sure, a balance.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, and cool thing about this guy is his salary is $1.8 million. So definitely a bargain bin if you're in a cap league. But yeah, that's all I'm going to touch on. I'm kind of sad that he's highly owned, as he should be with those points so far. So, but Shattenkirk is definitely a guy that you can get in a trade, maybe get some value out of that. Exactly. He could be a sell high guy as well. So something to think about what to do with him, but his value is incredibly high right now. And now people are finally catching up and drafting him because he's now, like I said, 84%, which is not as high as I once thought, which makes me sad. So that was my first defenseman pick. Kind of lame.
Go ahead. It's fine, but yeah, he was way lower at the beginning of the year.
I thought he was still in the 50% range, but no, he's been exploding.
He's probably a good sell high candidate because you don't know how well that defensive line is going to do in Tampa.
Yeah, and like I said, he's not getting any power play, so assists could just dry up at any time.
Yeah,
definitely, you can definitely flip for someone that is starting really slow. So I would keep an eye on that. And
that's a good idea to trade.
Yeah, I need to think about that. Yeah, do that, sell them.
How about, here, you look up the percentage of this one as I'm talking. How about Cam Fowler? Sure. I'm going back to the well of the Anaheim Ducks. Fowler's got 4 in the last 4. He's getting the number 1 power play, and he's getting over 23 minutes of ice time a game.
Fowler is 49%. Under 50. Yeah, literally the definition of under 50, 49.
Yes.
But as you say that, he's had a 6% ownage spike from today.
Oh.
I think it's the biggest. It is the 4th biggest spike of any player or of any defenseman. So people have been definitely paying attention to what you just brought up now, but still sub 50.
Yeah.
Do the top power play unit? What does he do there? I didn't know if they gave it to that other
Delzato or something. Delzato's on the second.
Or Hampus Lindholm or something.
No, they
didn't even use Hampus on the power play. Wow. That's insane. Yeah, that's a great pickup. Fowler with those 4 guys on the top unit. I like it.
Yeah, we were talking about it earlier. Raquel, Henrique, Terry, Silverberg, and then Fowler is the lone defense there, getting tons of points, and the Ducks are rolling. I'm all about picking the guys that have the minutes, have the opportunity. I don't want the guys that are going to be like a flash in the pan. Like Shattenkirk may be a flash in the pan because he's not necessarily getting those minutes, but Fowler is the only guy there. He's going to be getting all the minutes. The opportunity is there. Even if he gets nothing one night, you're still going to see 25 minutes. And that, he's still getting the shots, the hits, the blocks, all those peripherals around him. And, all these sites don't lie. I guess everyone else is on board with me picking up Fowler. 49% get him.
Yeah. Another thing to bring up is the Ducks are 1-for-19 on the power play. So as soon as they figure that out, that's just more free points for Fowler. That is an atrocious power play, 1-for-19. So I think eventually they'll figure it out and he'll start potting some in. And I think his value is only going to keep going up. I wouldn't be surprised if they can get some more, figure the power play situation out. Like you said, he's getting 20 minutes a game, 2.5 power play. Yeah, definitely a great pick. People are definitely looking into him, so I like that a lot.
And as soon as defense start getting injured too, right? A couple more guys get injured here and there. Fowler's a great stream because you're not going to worry about him getting ice time. He's going to be there.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, now you got to raise the bar on your second defenseman, Jesse. I'm waiting.
My second defenseman is the one and only Justin Schultz. Jesse, why are you picking Justin Schultz? I'm picking Justin Schultz is because with the injuries to the Pittsburgh, they've been running him and Letang on the top power play unit. So it is a two-defense power play. He's getting, for example, he had 6 minutes of power play last night, even though they're shut out against Vegas. That's still an absolute disgusting number.
Yeah.
With Malkin not coming back anytime soon, it's a chance that I don't think Galchenyuk would force him off the point. I'm not sure how they use Galchenyuk, but there's a chance they just might run these two basically till he gets back. Until then, that's a lot of free points for a guy that's just got to sit there and pass to Crosby and Guentzel. So I think it's a really easy decision there. He's only owned in 62% of leagues. He had another massive spike today of 6%. So again, he was almost 50% until today. He's got lots of shots for a defenseman. He has 26 shots in 9 games, which is almost a 3 per game pace, which is pretty good.
Yep.
So yeah, I think he's going to do really well till obviously Malkin gets back. Just again, you pick a guy based on the assignments. And I mean, Pittsburgh power play, yeah, it doesn't have Kessel anymore or Malkin. It's still going to get points. You can still pass to Letang, you can still pass to Crosby, Guentzel, et cetera, Hornquist. These guys are going to get points. So I think he's going to be a pretty good guy to add for at least a month until Malkin gets back, and then keep an eye on that when they probably demote him. And yeah, again, not a guy that's going to cost you a lot. There's pretty unlikely he was drafted in most leagues. I feel like he was more of a pickup player with his 62%. I'm sure he started really low and then just slowly moved his way up. But that's my other defensive pick is Justin Schultz of the Pittsburgh Penguins. And yeah,
I like
hopefully
it.
The teams get penalties against him and he just gets to sit there and get secondary power places. What else can you ask for?
Pittsburgh is one of those teams that you want to look for those injuries when they happen and pick up whoever's filling in that spot. So Malkin's gone for the month. Pick up the guy that's filling in that spot because, you know, they're still going to get points.
Yeah, and still get to play
at
with
least
Crosby.
For the month, right? At least for the month.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Agreed. So, yeah, that's my defensive pick there. That's all the defensemen I had. I had Ryan Ellis, but then he's been just on way too much fire lately that he's probably up to like 90% owned now.
Oh, yeah. He was huge. I looked at him today.
Yeah, but I had him earlier in the week and I was looking at him and he was like in the mid 50s or 60s kind of thing. And I was like, oh, Ellis could be a good pick. And then checked today. And yeah, he was not only picked up today by another team, and he is like just molten hot right now. So
yeah,
I'll pass on
Magma.
Magma. Right.
Let me give you, I got one more defenseman and then we'll get into some goalies before we wrap up. This is a guy that I seem to always be talking about in like these shows where we talk about the free agencies, but it's Jeff Petrie. He's here again. He's got 4 points in the last 5. He's on the second unit in Montreal, and the second unit in Montreal is actually their better unit with Tatar, Domi, Suzuki. Like, they're going to score lots of goals on that second line. I'm not worried about him being on the second power play unit at all. He's getting lots of ice time. You know, Weber's the big guy there that's going to be getting the most minutes, but Petrie is the offensive defenseman that's going to kind of do what Schultz does in Pittsburgh. He's going to be scoring, passing, shooting, lots of shots. And every year we're talking about him for the free agency because he's in 25% of leagues, 30, and it rises up to about 50, 60, and then he'll cool off, and then it'll rise up to 60 again, and then it'll cool off. But right now he's on the rise. Pick up Petrie wherever you can. Can you check that percentage owned for me, Jesse?
He is up to 84%.
Whoa!
Yeah, again, another guy that spiked like since the week started. He's like exactly the same as Shaq Herbert, which is funny. Because I was looking at these guys earlier in the week, and I was like, ooh, cool, these guys are like medium owned. Some guys I was like taking a look at, thinking about what to do to my defense. But people are agreeing with us, and he had another 2% spike today, so he's up to 84%. So wow. Petrie is in incredibly owned guy right now because of that streak. But all you said is true. I mean, he's averaging between 4 and 5 power play minutes a game. He plays basically 23 minutes a night. Yeah. Montreal's scoring a lot. They're doing great. So no surprise that Petrie's definitely looking good.
I'm shocked that he was so high because I thought people would be like on Weber and stuff. But
yeah, totally.
I guess the second unit of Montreal is highly sought after.
Yeah, people are interested for sure.
Okay, let's talk about this mess that is the goalies. Like, the goalie situation right now in the NHL is terrifying because if you don't have one of those bona fide number one goalies in the Renés, the Flurries, you're looking at all these split time guys. I have 4 goalies written down: Kemper, Grice, Koskinen, Blackwood, and Demko, which all could be supplanting their number ones in the next month. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, I have literally all the same goalies.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like the only thing I added was Samsonov just because he took 3 starts in a row off Holpe.
Yeah.
But that's basically, yeah, I mean, that's what it is, right? That's just what the goalie situation is. I mean, Koskinen is 4 for 4. He's won every game he's played. So that's great. Unfortunately, he's only played 4 games. So Mike Smith is 3 for 4. So of the 8 games, they've only lost 1, and it went to Mike Smith. So they're going to keep chopping.
Really bad loss for him, though.
And it was, yeah, it was just like he got annihilated in it. It was a, what was it? Oh, it was a 3-1. Actually, it wasn't that bad.
He let in, he did have a Kane, I think.
Okay. Because like, he did have a bad game against LA, but they won that game 6-5. So was a freaky game. But yeah, okay.
Maybe instead of talking about electric goalies to pick up, let's just go over some of these tandems and then kind of give what we think.
Okay, some cool ones is Carolina. You got Mrazek and Reimer. Mrazek had a terrible game last against the Ducks. He let in 4 goals on 13 shots, which is pretty brutal. Up until then, he had a 4-game win streak. He had his first shutout of the year. So him and Reimer are swapping. Carolina's on fire. The team's kicking butt. So again, there's a split to be interested in. I don't know how many games Reimer is going to take. Reimer's played 5 games and won 2, whereas Mrazek's played 5 and won 4. So Mrazek, I think, is technically the starter, but they've been literally split 5 and 5.
Yeah.
So again, doesn't really feel good. As we mentioned before, Koskinen and Smith, again, 4 games apiece.
Like, who only are we one taking loss out of those two?
To Smith. No one. Let's see. Mike Smith is 70% owned. Koskinen is 60% owned. So people think that Smith is the de facto starter, even though they both have played the same games. It's so tragic because
like double goals.
I want one of these. Yeah. And then Blackwood got a shutout last night, which is great for him. He's on a 2-game win streak.
I actually think, let's stop on that Devils one just for a quick sec. I think Blackwood is going to be taking the starts over Schneider.
I don't know if Schneider's been injured. I'm trying to figure out what's going on with him.
He's playing. He came back and he played the last game. He had 2 pretty poor starts back to back. And then
it looks like they lost 6-4, 3-0.
Last night, Schneider was actually supposed to play. Like, he was the projected goalie. And then they came out and said Blackwood was going to be getting the start. So it was kind of interesting that they just, even though Schneider was rested and stuff, that they wanted to go with Blackwood. I think Blackwood's going to take that Schneider role. I'm dropping Schneider in on one of our leagues our analytics league, just so you know.
Yeah, no, that's totally fine. He was one of our last goalies picked. And we have Kemper anyway, so it was like, I remember that pick, and we're like, I don't know, could be a starter, like last pick. Yeah, New Jersey lost the first 6 games of their season. 3 of them are Schneider, 3 of them are Blackwood, and then Blackwood has now won 2 in a row, so they were probably just going some hot hand style. But again, it's tough.
Okay, how about another one? You just mentioned Kemper. Kemper,
yeah, I was going to say, since we just literally talked about Kemper, he's had a crazy... He's won 3 in a row. And then Ranta played last night. Granted, it was against Ottawa. but they won 5-2. So he's been okay as well. This is going to be another pure 50-50, I'm pretty sure.
I'm taking Kemper out of those two.
I think Kemper's the better goalie, honestly, and he doesn't get injured, so I do like him more. But yeah, again, another chop. Halak, same thing. He has 4 starts. Grice has 5 starts. Samsonov has 5 starts.
Grice and Varlamov, that was another one. But Grice has won the last 2 that he's played. So he's 2-for-2. Okay.
Yeah, I think Varlamov
wasn't playing great.
Yeah, Varlamov won a 3-1 and a 3-2. He's only played 3 times since the season started. And the rest has been Grice for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So technically Grice is the 1A so far. What about Buffalo, super hot team? Also chopping.
Hutton's the number one there for sure, though.
Yeah, but I mean, Hutton has 5 starts. Allmark has 4 starts. Hutton's just won 5 of them.
It is still early in the year, so they do these like splits right at the beginning, right? They don't ride their goalie until the end. So don't panic too much about these splits, because there'll be a number one that'll, about halfway through the season, that'll come through. Before we go on to kudos at the end, I just want to bring up the Vancouver situation. Demko and Markstrom, what do you think about that?
I didn't know Markstrom was gone. That was the thing. I was freaking out because Demko had a bunch of starts in a row. And yep. I was like, man. But apparently Markstrom had a family issue and was gone. So I think he'll just go back to being the normal guy. But I think they're going to give a lot more starts to Demko because his stats have been absolutely unreal. So,
yeah, he's been playing great, and they lost last night just 1-0.
So, yeah, I mean, it's still
you're doing everything
23
you can.
Saves. Yeah, if your team can't score 1 goal, you're never going to win anyway. So it is what it is. So, yeah, it sounds like Markstrom's coming back to take the game tonight. So he'll start against the Rangers, which will put him up to 5 games started versus Demko's 3. So I still think it's going to be more of that, but I wouldn't be surprised if Demko gets like 30 starts, maybe like 50 for Markstrom, 30 for Demko, just because they actually have some good goalie situation going on here, which is kind of a bummer because I was hoping Markstrom was going to just take like all the starts, and I was kind of looking at him just to take him for myself as a goalie.
He could get hot. Like if Markstrom gets hot, they're not going to give, they're just going to give Demko the back-to-backs.
Yeah, very true. So, yeah, I do like that. And Vancouver, they're a good team. Like, you know, they can score a lot.
They're getting there.
Yeah, I like them. Yeah, I like them a lot. It's just, yeah, man, it's crazy. The highest percentage, yeah, Koskinen went up 10% today.
I think because he must just play today's game.
Yeah, he just must play tonight. Just because everyone wants a piece of these Oilers that are just crushing. Another big surprise for me is Korpisalo. I thought this guy would not be getting as many starts as he's been getting. But he has started 6 of the games of the 8. A lot of people were hyping this Elvis Merzlinkis guy, but he has not been getting any of the starts.
No, it's got to be Korpisalo first, for sure. He's a rookie, the Elvis guy.
Yeah, for sure. I just thought people would... or not people. I just remember reading all the hype about this Elvis guy, and looks like even though Columbus is a terrible team, Korpisalo is a starter. And he's may not end up with amazing stats, but he has 6 games played, 3 wins. So definitely a cheap, 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 cheap goalie option you can get if you really need some starts. So I'd keep an eye on him. He was on my list of goalies, just the last guy I had there, just because he's getting the starts and the team is okay. So I don't know. But yeah, that's basically all I got for this episode. Like you said, there's been, goalies have been hilarious to watch. I love it.
It's ridiculous. Like, I'm so happy that I have Grubauer and Fleury in our league because I don't have to worry about it. But I know you guys, like, I saw Martin Jones on the waiver wire a couple times this year already, like, just struggling with goalie wins.
Yeah, that was me. Like I said, I drafted Martin Jones. I was like, even though in the previous pods, I was like just flaming this guy about how terrible of a goalie is. I was like, but the Sharks are so good. And then the Sharks like had the worst start to their season ever. And I was just like, I can't handle watching Martin Jones let in 4 goals every game. So I cut him. So now I got Gibson and Hart, which I'm pretty fine with. I don't think I'm going to make any goalie moves. They're the main starters. So whatever, it'll be okay. But it is always interesting to watch how these goalie situations work. I just can't believe Edmonton is so sick. It's just literally back chop, like 1-1, and they're going to have two goalies with 30 wins each or something as it's going on right now. It's so crazy.
If they keep it up, hey, and man, I've been talking about Oscar Klefbom for years, and finally he's doing something.
Yeah, they gave him the power play, which is the only thing that matters, really.
Yep. And Nurse is still going. We were discussing. Good too, so.
Yeah, we were discussing, is it going to be him or Nurse? And looks like the coach went with Klefbom, and that's the easiest decision of your life. I'm sure Klefbom came at super value in your draft, so congratulations to anyone that got him or picked him up off the waiver wire, which happened in our league. And yeah, it's definitely pretty good. It's a interesting year so far. Like I said, lots of stars have been very slow. I own Aho, who's been absolute pulling my hair out with how slow he is. They've actually demoted him to the second power play unit, which is like super depressing for me because he was like my keeper.
That's actually bad, like that the coaching staff is demoting him.
Yeah, I don't know if it's just like a thing to be like trying to motivate him a bit or something, but there's definitely some players like that who've been criminally slow. All Dallas has been slow. That team has been awful. It just makes me laugh because all those pre-rankings and all those pre-drafts had people taking Bishop in the first round. Like, remember we were saying that? Like, the seventh pick. And the guy's like 1-6. And it's just like, guys, man, don't draft goalies like in the first round. Like, come on. Like, that's disgusting. So it's
pick up that it's Corey been a fun Perry. Year.
Yeah, 3 points, baby. He's back. God, I was so mad when I saw that.
I love it because you know people are going to pick him up now.
Oh, man. If he wasn't, I'm going to look, just do a quick look here. Sorry. Corey Perry on Fantrax. I want to see his percentage.
Here, you look that up and I'm going to start saying my kudos for the week.
I do it.
My kudos is super easy. It's football season and the Patriots are killing it. That's obviously my football team. We got the best defense in the league. Did you see that insane stat that the Patriots defense has more points than Travis Kelce, Le'Veon Bell, who was it, Kamara or something, a whole bunch of other players. Odell was in that list, but the Patriots defense has more touchdowns than all those players like combined.
I love it.
Crazy stat like that.
I had the unfortunate of playing against the guy who had the New York Patriots defense that night, so that they got the couple of touchdowns, the interceptions. Of course, I lost, but they look unbeatable again. I don't know. I have Gronk on my team still on the bench.
He's not coming back.
I'm just still holding on hope that he may come back. But I don't know, man. You think like end of the year, like game 14, game 15, you know, he comes back, adds another free ring to the cabinet. I don't know.
Hey, the Patriots are looking good, man. I love football. I love when, like, there's so much sports to watch on TV. I love watching hockey, and then Sunday is pretty much just all football. Kudos. No, football's on. Let's watch some. You got a kudos for this week?
Yeah, for sure. First, I'll start off with Corey Perry's up to 26% owned. 1-4, ooh, baby.
Look at that.
Moving up. He's getting 12 minutes of ice time. He had a freak 3-point game. He's spiking.
Moving on up.
Moving on up. My kudos is hilarious kudos because I finally started watching this TV show. I don't know if you ever go on Reddit, but there is a meme called Slowpoke, and it's like this picture of a Slowpoke, and someone talks about how awesome something is from like 10 years ago. So I started watching Breaking Bad finally. I finished season 2 last night, and hopefully can finish the rest of the seasons here in the coming weeks and be done with it finally so I could be good. And yeah, the show is definitely as advertised. It is so hype. So definitely a shout out to him. Cranston is amazing and stuff like that.
Yes.
It's been so good. I've just been wanting to get this show off my back forever. And so I got some free time here. So I'm going to finish it up. And
then basically what inspired me
was that's what inspired me was the El Camino movie came out, which is the after story of Jesse. So now I can hopefully watch that after I'm done here and wrap up that whole saga and then just finally be the last person on earth who hasn't seen Breaking Bad and be done with it. So that's what I've been up to. And my kudos for sure is that.
You know what? That's funny. Cause me and the wife started watching Lost. She's never watched it, but I watched it from start to end. And I was like, this is such a good show right at the beginning. we started watching it again, and man, the first couple seasons are insane. Like, we just finished season 2, and it's so good.
Oh, dude, the first, like, 3 or so, like, I don't know. Is Desmond in season 2, or is that 3?
Yep. Yeah, he's in season 2. Okay, he comes right at the beginning of season 2, and then he leaves, and now he's back again because he went off sailing on his boat, and he came back because he couldn't sail away.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, man. I love, early Lost was so, so sick. Before they get off, or I guess whatever. Well, if you haven't seen it, too bad. So, yeah, once they get off the island, it kind of jumps the shark a bit for me, and then they have to go back and stuff like that. It's a little weird. But, yeah, the first couple seasons of that show are just, like, bar none amazing. Like, the whole Dharma Initiative, finding, like, polar bears and stuff is just, like, blows your mind. And there's every episode is, like, 10 questions, and you never learn anything. And it's just, like, hoping you get an answer for anything. So
yeah, no, that's everyone cool. That's gonna say on Twitter that was too many spoilers from Jesse. I mean, it's been 10 years, so I hope you've seen Lost since then.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I mean, I know what happens in Breaking Bad. Like, I've seen enough to, and obviously Walter isn't in the El Camino movie, so he's probably dead, which I've been told a million times. So I know that what happens in the show is that he definitely does obviously die. So I'm curious to see how his descent to madness happens and stuff like that. So 2 seasons down, 3 to go, and you know,
that's,
it just feels good to
both
get stuff
watching old shows with.
Yeah, it's just like, I have to get this over with, because I watched season 1 like years ago, and I was like, this is so good, and then for some reason I just stopped watching, and then I was just like, I'm just gonna get it over with because this is enough. Anyway, great podcast talking about Breaking Bad forever. So yeah, that is my kudos.
Yeah,
hopefully you guys' fantasy weeks have been going so far. Send us your messages, Fantasy NHL Talk. Twitter is basically the best place to get at us. And again, we'll probably have a podcast in 2 weeks. Because, I mean, everything we're telling you guys is probably what you guys are experiencing yourself. I mean, we're only 8 games in for some teams. So, all I can say is don't blow up your rosters. I haven't cut Aho yet, so please don't cut him in your leagues. Just stay positive.
Yeah, so, and this is also another kind of like PSA, that check out those free agent pools and just make sure that no one's cutting the Ajos that you can pick up. Like, if someone is really antsy with him and they've dropped him already, someone in our league of record actually got really antsy about Gusev and cut him 2nd game in. Do you know who that was, Jesse?
Yeah, that was definitely me.
And but I picked him up.
I cut him for cap issues. That's the only reason I cut him. He gets paid 4 or 5. I thought he got paid a lot less, and it really was killing my team. I was like, dang, I actually can't afford to have Gusev. I was like, this is a bummer.
But so everyone, look out for those players, right? Those slow players that are being put back into the free agent pool. If you want to ride them out a little bit, I mean, we're still early. Don't overreact. Don't drop anyone that's a star. But keep an eye out for those guys that, you know, maybe someone doesn't want, or they need to move for an injury player or something, like the Gusev. And then I got a nice treat picking him up because I saw Jesse dropped him.
Yeah, for sure. People are always going to cut people or move people that you don't expect to see. Happens in every league. And it was Gusev or JT Miller. And I couldn't cut JT Miller because I was just singing his praises, and he's been actually so good for Vancouver, so I got lucky on that. But yeah, I'm sure Gusev will be fine. He just, cap league, it's so crazy this year. Like we said, we started doing it, it is hilarious. I have like $1 million in cap space. I don't know what to do. It's like, it's so depressing to look at guys like Erik Karlsson is getting paid 11.5, which is like basically 10% of my 20-person roster. It's one person. I'm just like, oh god, what
I
do?
Cap space is fun. Using the cap.
I think it's. It's amazing. Yeah, I think it's absolutely amazing because it makes you like think, and you can't just blindly go through the league and buy whoever you want or make trades and be like, yeah, of course I'll do a 20 million trade swing this way or whatever.
Yeah.
And it makes drafting guys like, I don't know, Barzal or cheap guys like just so satisfying. What's the cheapest guy you got? I mean, Hersher is still getting paid under $1 million, which is pretty good. And that's it for you, actually. You just got a lot of mid-range salaries. Everything
around
is like 4.
I tried not to go like overboard, but I try to keep it nice and even.
Brian Hart's getting paid like 3. Morgan Riley's the best bargain ever, though. 11 points for a $5 million defenseman. That's such a good contract. Good lord.
Okay, let's get out of here. We'll be back in 2 weeks just to let some more games filter through. Like Jesse said, hit us up on Twitter if you got any questions. That's it for me. Enjoy football and hockey and all the other sports on right now, because there's baseball playoffs too. Go Astros. All right, we'll talk to you guys later.